Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all the crap we love to talk about on ye old bruvs, especially on Friday before a long weekend. Oh, God bless you, long weekend. I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hello, Benoonies.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Everybody, we're doing our cabaret, Forbidden Housewives, the musical about the Real Housewives in New York City, June 3rd and June 5th. It's sold out, but you can get live streaming tickets, which you can watch up until a week after, but you can only buy it up until showtime. So get them now if you want to watch it. And you can watch it for a full week. It's going to be so much fun. There will be a chat room, so you can go party with everybody. If you want these recaps on video, or you want bonus episodes or ad-free listening or Discord server access, or you want our free weekly blog newsletter thing where you could hear me rant about this shit all over again, you can join that for free at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. And now, oh, have to announce, we are taking Monday off. So recaps for Atlanta and Rhode Island will be updated with the following week's recap, because we need a day off, y'all.
Yeah,
but we hope you have a great holiday weekend, and in the meantime, welcome to your show, Ben. How do you feel today?
I'm feeling lovely. It's a penultimate episode of Southern Hospitality. Did you mention that it's episode season 4, episode 12, Big Gay Explosion? And here we are at Republic Bar and Grill. And it's time for a pre-shift meeting. It's the white party tonight. White party tonight. We have this night. Okay, everyone, make it count. White party, white party, white party. And he's like, yes, yes.
Finally.
Finally. A party that I get.
Yeah. Finally, someone's throwing me a party at this restaurant. Emmy is out of town, thankfully, so we don't have to hear about that, at least for a little while. So the night begins, everyone's working, Joe's cornering Leva at the bar, and he's like, oh yeah, I think we'll sell out by like 11. 11, this is my fifth white party, and it's like my favorite one of the year, you know? So it's like, it's amazing. It's going to be amazing, which is, you know, why I'm proud to run your next restaurant.
So Leva says, we've been having this white party for literally over a decade. It's an iconic event and everybody in Charleston loves it. They look forward to it. It's sort of like the last technical time you can wear white that's acceptable at the end of the summer. Like, we understand what white parties are. Just say you're having a white party. We get it. So TJ's like, I have no idea what the fuck a white party is. I just know it's a day that I make a lot of money.
I was going to say, we don't all know. But
I guess. I know. Sorry, I take it back immediately. I forgot who's on the show. So they're excited. The white party, it's exciting. And so Brad and Michaels and Lake are at the front, and Brad's like saying, how are you feeling about the party? And Michael's like, I'm excited, because Michaels is going to be having a party for So.Gay, everyone.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, it's So.Gay, not to be confused with Soda Gay, which is a gay who loves soda.
It's a Secret Lives of Mormon Wives gay.
Yeah.
And Michaels is like, yeah, I got my prints back from the shoot that I did for like So.Gay, and I'm super, super excited. Brad's like, are they so gay? He's like, they are so gay. Really, really gay.
And he says, you know, what better way to do it than to like make it a girls and gays party that the straights can come to. But this time, instead of cucumbers, we have photos.
So girls and gays, but also the straights. So it's just party.
It's a regular party. It's Charleston, so I don't know that there are that many gays to come. Who are you gonna invite? You, TJ, and a couple guys from Southern Hospital or Southern Charm, and like Cooper.
Rodrigo.
We'll just bring Cooper.
Rodrigo
out.
And Cooper.
Yeah,
and those guys whose faces had to be blurred out because you called them twos later in the episode.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that was cold. My God. He's like, oh yeah, people on my Instagram are all twos. And then they show the people from the Instagrams. What are you doing? That's so rude.
Those were probably PAs on the show that they just put up there, you know.
Whatever. I was like, how dare you put my picture up there? I've never been in your DMs. Leave me out of this.
So Lake is like, you should be so proud of this. Like, yeah, I'm just like anxious and like nervous because like, my mom's coming to town, so I think like a little bit of me is like having a lot of anxiety, but I'm like trying not to let that cloud over my event.
And of course, his mom, as we all know, is Estelle Getty. Because I still contend that Michaels looks like B. Arthur. I can't help it. I see B. Arthur in him.
For what it's worth, I've known your mom for about 5 seconds now on television, and I have anxiety as well. Okay, just recounting the fact that she's going to come onto this show. So I get it. And he's like, yeah, my relationship with my mom's like 3 steps forward and 1 step back. And like, whenever I tried to call her and I had my shoe, like, it just felt so defeating. Like, so she's going to show up at a party that features photos of me half naked. Maybe that's not like the best thing for her to see. And yeah, your mom does not want to be on camera. She clearly does not want to be on camera. She knows what's coming. She knows what you're planning. She knows that you've been doing it ever since she heard you talking shit about her. She knows you're going to get her on TV and call her a homophobe and say you never supported her. She doesn't want to do it, Michael. She does not want to do it. But damn it, she's going to do it.
Yeah.
She's going to do it. She does it.
So Blake gives Michael
stuck to your guns, lady. Should have stuck to your guns because, whoa, what a bad mistake this was.
Like, she's like, you know, the person that you are, you know, the successes that you've achieved, and those are the things that you should be proud of and just doing it. Like, I'm going to need you to, like, speed up your compliment. It's, like, taking a really long time. Sorry, I just speak really slowly.
You're going really slow. That's, like, so dot not gay dot.
Speed it up. Brad is like, well, I can't wait to look at you half naked, blown up in front of my face. And Justin's like, yeah. You got a good mushroom tip in your pick, bro. And he's like, what does that mean? It's like, head of your penis, bro. No, I've got a hoodie, so no mushroom tips.
So now it's a new day. Maddie's wearing ankle weights. She's on FaceTime with Meredith because that's what you do. You know, you're on ankle weights. You just put weights all over your limbs. So you're like moving as slowly as you feel like Meredith is talking, you know, like, talking. Hello, Meredith. Hello. I'm so proud to be coming to Charleston to be a part of a woman's event with supporting all the girls.
It was so nice to connect with you online. I was like, yeah, we should go back to back. And then you commented yes. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it like made me so happy. And I'm telling you, like, people are going to die in Charleston.
Yes. And I'm definitely not making an appearance to promote my son's show, Next Gen New York City, premiering very soon. I am here because I can think of nothing better than to spin some sick tunes at a regional bar in a small market city. I'm really excited.
Yeah, for this So Dot Magazine gay party, whatever, I decided, like, we're going to have an all-woman DJ set to show that we're coming for the men in this industry. I was like, well,
nothing says
gay. Are we going to stay on theme with anything in this party?
I know. This party is here to celebrate gay men, but also that men shouldn't really be part of anything. Because it's about women, but it's also about straight people who are coming in as allies. And it's also about mushroom tips and also for people who have hoodies. So it's everything.
It's also for straight women in the DJ business. Like, yes, killing it. It's like,
so just to recap, Michaels has a mother who is very uncomfortable being on TV. Doesn't approve of his lifestyle and him being gay, and is obviously a bit more conservative leaning. So he's going to bring her to this party that's both going to celebrate his gayness, perhaps show off his uncircumcised wiener, and also be, you know, like, women supporting women, anti-man thing. Like, his mom's brain is going to explode. Let's be like 10 different liberal agendas happening at once.
Like, just, this woman looks very uncomfortable. Give her a book to burn. But on the other hand, there is nothing gayer than having Meredith Marks at your event. So that is pretty cool. I would freak out. And Meredith, you know, whoever Meredith sees is so good, because I got that it was Meredith later, but I was kind of, you know, like, probably scrolling or something when this conversation started, and I looked up to see who it was, and I was like, who's this 20-year-old chick? She felt like, who's this 20-year-old DJ? I was waiting to hear her name so I could be like, oh, I'm gonna look her up and see who it is. It was Meredith. It's like, damn, where do I get that? Where do you get that? Just please give me a number.
In Salt Lake City. Maybe it's a beauty lab and laser.
I think, you know, she does hers in New York, because she really lives in New York, right? So she probably gets, maybe she goes to Georgina. New York City.
Mm-hmm. Maybe goes on to Well, either way, Georgina. I know Meredith is getting Georgina, the new the dermatologist.
I just got it. Yeah. The in the city chick.
Yeah. The references are very fresh here. It's like, oh, you just arrived in our world. Guess what? Inside jokes begin now. Anyway, yeah. Supporting women, supporting LGBTQ, supporting turntables, supporting shoulder pads and blazers. I'm all for it. How could I say no?
Supporting crazy, supporting rich, supporting Asians. How did that movie end, by the way?
Now, excuse me, I'm just going to slide into this complimentary shrink jacket that Delta Airlines provided for me before I board.
See you soon, Queen. So they hang up, and now it's time to catch up with TJ and Mia. So she comes to visit him, and they're laughing because she brought them burgers, but hers has lettuce. And she's like, oh, my God, this looks like a little bit radioactive. Like, yeah. Once I did a pageant, I had to make a couple of changes to my diet. And instead of a regular bun, now it's lettuce. Oh, my God. Like, instead of happiness, it's sadness. Like, is it worth it? Yes.
You know, I really enjoy TJ. I really enjoy Mia. But sometimes I feel like when they get together, I sometimes think that they think their banter is like the most fabulous thing happening on Bravo. And I'm like, it's fine. But sometimes I'm like, I need more.
You need more from a gay and his girl than just somebody with a picture of his best friend that he points down at his breakfast taco and says things in his friend's voice, kind of. I mean, I think that's pathetic. Kind of like how I have my little friend on my desk at all times. He's always like, Ronnie, did you really mean to say that in that tone? I don't know if you. I approve of whatever you do. That sticker. I have them. Both of them.
For those listening, Ronnie has a sticker of me. That's just smiling at him, but also passing judgment. It's saying, Ronnie.
Hi, Ronnie, do you think we should edit out minute 47 and a half? It's up to you. It's up to you.
Did I tell you about my new Barefoot Contessa cookbook? You're like, Ben.
Guess who I saw on an elevator? Guess who I saw on an elevator?
Oh, if it was Ina Garten, I would die. I would die. Die.
So they're making little best friend talk about last night. And guys, last night, Mia came to Republic with her not really an ex-boyfriend, Troy. I knew this was all bullshit when she said she broke up with Troy right after their romantic vacation to Hawaii or whatever. That did not sound right to me. And I think that she is doing a good old look. I'm single, so I can still stay on Summer House. I think she's pulling a Ben from Summer House.
Yeah. You mean single and stay on Southern Hospitality. I'd love it if she was like, I'm single. I can join Summer House now.
Well, I just meant that's what they do on Summer House. Because if you're not sexually available for some Bravo man to torture emotionally, then you're not really worth anything on these shows. As was unbothered. Evidenced by Levi this season on Summer House.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, Troy's back and they had sex and it was fun, but he left and, you know, she's like, whatever, he cheated on me. Nothing bad happened. She says, we had dinner last night. And I was like, what are we doing here? We can't date until we're in the same city. And like, am I having a fun time with him? Yes. Is he my favorite person to have sex with? Yes. And TJ is like, I mean, he's pretty perfect. I mean, minus the fact that he doesn't live here. That's funny, right? He goes, I know. I mean, he's giving me $8,000 though. For your shift. Mm-hmm. And for all the stuff that was stolen, remember?
For your shift. Oh, shit. Yeah, he's going to reimburse her. Oh.
The shift.
Like, wow, I love TJ just calling her a hooker. But he's like, yeah, for your shit that was stolen. She's like, yeah. And she goes, yeah. And he told me he was like looking at rings and like literally like you're coughing. And that's what I did. That was his reaction. Like, don't die on me, please, TJ. Don't die. But I'm making a ring. He's like, so hot. If the guy won't even move to the town you're in, how's he going to buy you a ring? Or is he doing that to lure you to the town that he's in?
Maybe
where does he live again?
Maybe it's a ring camp. So that way you can keep an eye on people who are stealing moving trucks.
He's like, I love you enough to make sure your Uber Eats gets there safely.
That is love, actually. That's the greatest sign of love. So TJ is like, are you excited for Michael's event? I was thinking of bringing a bucket of red paint to just in case someone wears fur. I just feel like we're just lumping everything into it. So I thought it might be a fun moment to do that. And Mia's like, well, when I saw the flyer, I was like, so gay. And I was like, are we allowed to say that? But then I realized that was the name of the magazine. And they both laugh. She's like, I was like, I mean, where's HR? I mean, I'm excited. It's going to be fun. I mean, by the way, is Molly going to say something to Michaels about firing her? And of course, we get a flashback to Emmy revealing, well, maybe it's not Emmy. It's Molly saying that Emmy told her that Michaels knew about the firing of Molly, the scandal that has touched America so deeply.
Yeah. So is anybody shocked that Molly is helping Emmy move the conversation off of what a problematic racist idiot Emmy is so that Molly can have a storyline about getting fired last year? I'm not surprised, but here we go. So TJ's like, well, I feel like he was really eager to patch up their issues in the beginning of the summer. She's like, yeah, and he should have come clean then because this is ridiculous. And TJ's like, yeah, I know, because they all know that Michaels, in fact, did have something to do with this firing and was just lying. And she's like, yeah, I mean, he played a part in her firing. And TJ says, yeah, I mean, obviously his hands are dirty because he doesn't want anyone to know.
And she goes, the truth always comes out. Why do people not understand that? Like, why do people not understand that? Well, I guess he shouldn't have told Emmy. And she's like, yeah, yeah. And Molly, like, he didn't give Molly any grace. I mean, they used to be like buddies. No, he needs to complain before she has to confront him about it. Yeah. Like, okay, you guys have like worked yourself up into way too much of a tizzy about something that does not involve you whatsoever.
I know, over a firing nobody cares about. Like, why was Molly like fired from Republic?
Too much personality, I think. They're like, Molly, we're calling you in here. Well,
they got sick of her accusing everybody of murder. They're like, Nancy Grace, get out.
It's come to our attention you're not familiar with Tommy Bahama, and if you don't know that brand, you just cannot work here.
So I looked this up. It says owner Leva stated that Molly's full-time job as an event planner required her to constantly switch and drop shifts at Republic, which ultimately led to her being let go. Molly claims she was privy to personal information about Assistant General Michaels and asserts he used bullshit reasons to get her fired. And Michaels denied having the power to fire her, stating that Molly simply sucked at her jobs. So
it feels like the beginning of the People's Court. There really should be a Bravo court, though, by the way. Like, so Judge Judy, I don't know if she's retired or not. I know she's had that massive deal where she moved her show off to like IMDb or something. I think Bravo needs to just bring Judge Judy in and just have her preside over some feuds. You know, I know Andy does it at the reunions, but just some like one-off small feuds, like Michaels versus Molly. Something low rent.
Hey, you over there. Okay. So you're working at Republic. Why don't you get a real job? Get a real job. A real job. I don't want you working at Republic anymore.
I don't know if you remember this, Ben, but about 10 years ago, I think it was that long ago, we went to New York to do a Crappens show. Or it was like, it wasn't 10 years, but it was a long time ago. We went to New York to do a Crappens show, and we had a meeting with Bravo. We had a meeting with Bravo's, I forget who it was, but it was a few people from Bravo. Yeah, digital. And they were talking about show ideas and ways we could work together. And that was one of the things we pitched. It wasn't Judge Judy, but it was us acting as Doug Llewellyn from the People's Court as people came out. Like, we would do... that you would see the show and then it would be like da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then we would question people about the cases from the shows really quick, like a quick after show. We actually pitched that years ago, and I cannot believe they didn't make it.
So the People's Court, the People's Crappens.
Yeah, the Crappens Court. Well, you know, just Crappens like dun-dun-dun. Okay, you called her a slam pig. Do you really think that was necessary? You know, just quick, not like a full after show, just like a quick 5-minute thing as the credits roll. Just let people, you know, just grill people on their way.
That's so funny. That's a funny idea. Dun-dun.
I thought just so.
Popping up.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Well, yeah. Now guess what? Michael's is at Bourbon and Bubbles. Because you're not allowed to go to any other restaurant in Charleston if it's not a Leva and Lamar property.
Jesus, so but thank you for not being Zach Stacks, because I could not take one more fucking minute in a Zach Stacks.
Even Michaels knew. he was like, okay, I'm going to put my mom on camera so that way the world can see how mean she is to me. Even I will have show a little bit of grace to her by not putting her in Zach Stacks.
My mom will gay bash a Zach Stacks. I do not want to see my mom take a baseball bat to those machines. You know, those multicolored.
I feel like I'd get hypnotized by all those machines. All those machines swirling around. I'd be like, Zachary's is the best. Zachary's is the best. It's like a clockwork orange. Zachary. So Elise comes in. She shows up and she's smiley and bubbly. I was like, oh, this lady's nice. They made her seem like she'd be such a cold monster. And then she sits down and immediately is like, I refuse to smile for the rest of the scene.
Yeah. She's like, at least you could have pulled up the chair. And he's like, oh, sorry. And they laugh. And she's like, this is a nice place, I guess. He's like, yeah. So it's super awkward. And I see where this mother's coming from immediately. She's, like I said, does not want to be on this show, knows he's going to try and make a fool of her. And she is determined to come into this show being like, look at me, a happy, fun mom. Bubbles and bourbon, whatever the fuck it's called. Let's do this. Nothing can take me off of my game. What have you got? Let's do this, son.
Yeah, but she falls off of her game like immediately.
Quickly.
Very quickly. She's like staring out the window and very serious. It was so awkward. And
well,
so
we see where Michaels gets it from, because Michaels is like that. Uh-huh. Michaels' personality is very like, what?
It's like, what? I'm not going to talk to you. If I don't like you, I'm not going to talk to you. Actually, I'm sure he has not even connected those dots. And that would probably be devastating to him if he realized the way he treated Lake that one episode, the way he's been treating Emmy, which deservedly so, by the way, but the way he's treating Emily or anyone who crosses him is basically the way his mom is treating him in this scene. So
yeah, it is very devastating, actually. I mean, I think a lot of gay guys specifically go through that problem where they realize, and it's like an avalanche when it happens to you. It just comes to you all at once. I believe I was in an HEB and I was like checking out when it hit me. I was looking at what I was buying and I was like, I'm my mother. That's what it is. Like, that's why we don't get along. Like, I'm her. I'm like Rhonda without a wig. I'm her. Mm-hmm. I've become my mother. And then once I learned that, I tried to run people down in a crosswalk, tried to drive my car off a bridge, you know, stuff like that. But then I accepted it, and things are much better now. Things are much better. So
I realized I had turned into my mother when, after we did the crappies, I then gave myself notes for 20 minutes. And I was like, wait a second.
When you told yourself after the crappies, would it have killed you to get a haircut? You knew.
I told myself, you know, you started 20 minutes late. That's 20 minutes that we're sitting there watching the feed and nothing's happening. I don't know why I said that to myself. I turned into my mom. So Elise is like, so why did you guys went to that church? And he's like, well, I haven't been to church in a really long time. It was nice. She's like, I just was surprised that you told me you were there. I mean, what else are you doing?
This was so fucking funny to me. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have to break down every moment of this scene because it was so disturbing, but I was also laughing at so many parts because Michaels just had a whole trip about going home and how important it was to reconnect with his family feelings and all of this stuff. Then he goes to this church and he has this big moment where he's crying in the church and he's like, spiritually, this is like so important to me. No, no, no. It's this whole event. And then he comes to sit down with his mom and his mom goes, why'd you go to that church? Why?
Because I haven't been to church. I was surprised that you told me you were there. I mean, what else are you doing? He's like, working, focusing on nightlife, working on hospitality. That's it. So he tells us that his mom does not like that he works in nightlife, and she wants him to have a corporate job. He's like, but I've worked my way to the top, and only thing I've ever wanted was for my mom to be proud of me. Have you worked your way to the top? You worked your way to assistant general manager of a club in Charleston.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty good for 22, though, you know?
It is pretty good, but he's acting like he made it. Like, the journey continues.
There's higher highs, is what you're saying.
There's higher highs.
The mountain is higher. then you're on a boulder, but there's a whole mountain behind you.
You know, like climb every mountain. Every mountain means every mountain, not just this mountain. Okay.
Keep climbing. Okay. So he's like, I just want my mom to be proud of me. And he's like, well, do you feel like we're in a better place this year than we were last year? And she's like, we were never in a bad place. And he's like, well, I mean, I feel like there was a period of time where we were just like not talking a lot. And she goes, yeah, I've been busy.
Which is so shady. That's your son. Okay, this is not like, hey, this is Francis from Bank of America. Just calling to see if you have considered opening up a savings account. Sorry, I've been busy. This is your son. You can't say I've been busy to your son.
Yikes. And he goes, well, my birthday, I had to call you and tell you it was my birthday. And she goes, oh, you probably didn't answer. You know how cell phones work, right? There's a record of calls, ma'am. Listen, we need to start mom training from Crappens. Before any mother goes onto these shows, call us. We get what your issues are. We're not going to immediately villainize you, but we will tell you how to hold yourself. I mean, I cannot believe all the mothers that have come on this show and just completely blown it. This is just another in a long line, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of hilarious. So Michael's like, if you would have called me, I would have answered. But like, well, I feel like when I tried to FaceTime you, I had the photo shoot. I was like sitting there and I was like trying to have you. She's like, I was at the doctor. Yeah, but still, like you hung up the phone on me. She's like, I was at the doctor. But you hung up the phone. I was in an MRI. What? I was under anesthesia. Wait, mom, how did you answer the phone under anesthesia? I don't know. The nurse gave it to me. And I said, I don't know. That's what they told me. I have no idea.
I was in a coma. How am I going to do that?
You were on the phone.
You didn't tell me that until later. She goes, okay, I'm sorry, Michaels. Okay, I'm sorry.
Can I tell you something? I feel like growing up, you were like my best friend. She's like, yeah. And like, you would always ask me if I was like gay and I'd be like, no, I'm not. And then like, you'd be like, it's okay if you're gay. And like, I'll always love you if you're gay. She goes, because I knew it. Yeah, but then I came out and I just like felt like we lost our relationship. She goes, well, you don't understand. Our relationship was built on me saying, you're gay, and you saying, no, I'm not. So then once you come out, we don't have our joke anymore. So it just sort of sucks, but yeah.
Well, I mean, one thing I'll say for her, it was nice to hear, like, you know, you always thought I was gay, and you told me you would always love me anyway. I thought that was nice. But man,
it was really nice.
I'm just looking for things to give this lady because she's not doing very well. And so he starts crying because, of course, and he's like, well, I'm really ashamed of myself because I felt like the whole time you were trying to like hide who I am from people. And I felt alone. She goes, oh, my God, I used to call you and you wouldn't answer. Do you remember that? And he's like, well, I would answer, but I felt like I couldn't tell you things. And she's like, oh, my God, you cry, baby. You need to grow up, Michaels. I mean, all the crying you do, just stop. Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, gosh. No.
What are you doing?
Calling your son a crybaby on TV. For a moment there, I was like, okay, so maybe there is another side to the story. But she's like, crybaby, suck it up. So he's like, I feel like I've grown up and I'm like an emotional person. She goes, you don't stop. If you don't stop crying, I'm going to leave. Like, really? You're acting like you're not getting your way. Like, why are you crying? It's already in the past. Like,
oh.
I really can't figure out what's going on with these two. It does seem like she is not emotionally accessible. But I also get the sense that it's weird. I'm having a mixed thing where I'm like, she's not as awful as he had made her out to be, but she's definitely not as warm as I think she is trying to say she is. And I can't figure it out. But Michaels is definitely not getting what he needs from her, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think that any parent is going to watch a show that they've been talked about like that. You know, where your kid's up there like, I didn't get what I needed from my parent. They never supported me. They probably had problems with me because I was gay or whatever. And then your friends are like, whoa, you were a really shitty mom to your son. What's up with that? And then you're like, well, fuck my son for going on TV and saying all this shit. I always told him when he was a little kid I would love him if he's gay. You know, she's probably thinking it from that perspective and thinking like how much you embarrassed me instead of thinking like, wow, my child really feels this way about me. How do I fix this? You know, you're coming at it from the defensive place of like, this is what this kid just did to me on national TV and humiliated me, instead of like, wow, I really made my kid feel like this. I need to see what I could do differently, you know? And right. She's like, even if she has a point with the whole, like, you've talked shit about me and it really hurt my feelings, she's not making it very well here. Oh my God, what a disaster. I felt so bad for Michaels, you know?
Yeah, I think ultimately still she is the parent, and it is up to her to make sure her child feels loved. Yeah, and so, you know, even if what he did was like, she didn't like that and she was really upset about that, like, you're the adult still.
Yeah. So
she didn't like that. She did not like all the things that he had said. And she goes, you know, how do you think I feel? My friends, everybody watching the show, my son's talking bad about me, and I've always been there for you, except at the doctor's office, which I'm unfortunately at all the time, every time you call. But I don't know why you feel like that. And he's like, because those are my feelings. I mean, that's my truth. And she goes, but that's why I didn't want to come, because you lie. He's like, I didn't lie. She goes, you lie. And all the things you said, that's not true. So she's crying. He's like, they were true, mom. Those were my feelings. That was my truth. She goes, you hurt my feelings. What you said in this show, it's like you're attacking me.
And he says, I'm sorry I didn't know how you were feeling, and I'm sorry I hurt your feelings with what I said, and that you had to find out on TV that those were my feelings. And moving forward, I'll do a better job of telling you how I feel. And she's like, okay. And he says, so I don't hurt your feelings. And she's like, okay. And he said, will you do the same and communicate with me if I hurt your feelings? And she says, yeah. And she says, and I just want you to know I'm proud of you, and I don't care what you are. I love you.
It's so interesting, by the way, that this is the exact same conversation he's had to have with different people this season, with Lake, et cetera. And what, last week there was a whole thing of like, Michaels, you have to talk, you have to talk. So Michaels is like, for my mom to tell me that she's proud of me, it feels weird, but just because I've never heard her say it before, and words of affirmation is just like not her thing. And it's like not the way she was raised. So I just need time to process, but being able to have a conversation, open the door to have like more in the future. So it winds up ultimately being a positive exchange, which is good.
Yeah.
And at the end, what was great is that he puts his hand across the table to be like, hold my hand, we're gonna bond. And she shakes it instead. He's like, what are you doing?
Why are you shaking my hand?
She's like, this is why you have to work in corporate America. We shake hands there.
Oh gosh. So now we go to Joe, who's writing in a notebook, which, why does everything that Joe does crack me up?
Just like
Joe.
A movie. I was saying the same thing today. There was like a shot. There's a scene later on when Maddie's with her mom and Joe shows up. She's like, well, Joe's here. And they just cut to him and he's just like in the truck. He's like checking his phone. And I'm just started laughing. I was like, it's just Joe on his phone. Like, I don't know what, he amuses me so deeply.
He's writing, dear diary, Monday through Wednesday, local artist to drive bar sales. Nailed it. Yeah, after my emo party event, like, I felt like I've kind of been reborn with like that Joey Bottles fire in my ass, you know? Cause like, I did that shit. I had emo night. And, you know, like that talk with Leva I had, it's like been haunting me. And then we see clips of Leva haunting him on the side. And she's like, you were just slacking. You're not reliable. You have been replaced.
She said the R word, like, what? Replaceable. Oh, that's a different R word than people usually.
This show's in enough trouble right now without accusing Leva of saying the R word.
Okay. I know.
So now he calls his mom, Michelle. Yeah. And you got to love Michelle. Now, here's how to do it. Michelle knows how to be a mom on TV. She's like, just let him say whatever he wants. Just nod and smile. What are you going to do? He's like, hey, mom, I just called you because I need some advice. And I need to write a business proposal for the Bonapartes so that they're willing to, like, you know, like, maybe take that leap of faith and partner with me. She's like, good, honey, you deserve it. Okay, well, I need to have it, like, organized. Okay, well, have you done a rough draft? Well, like, I just wrote down, like, a really intricate paragraph of, like, I wanted into ChatGPT.
Intricate. Mary Higgins Clark, why are you writing intricate paragraphs?
It was like an intricate portrait of my feelings.
Yeah, a lot of twists and turns, and just when you think you understand what the paragraph's all about, then all of a sudden it turns it all upside down. It was crazy.
It was a scintillating, scathing foray into the mind of a restaurateur.
Restaurateur, honey.
Whatever.
I was like the brothers Dostoevsky. Okay.
Mom, really impressive. Out. You know who that is, Joe?
I really don't. But they sound dusty. So thanks, ChatGPT.
He kind of mix a real person with a fictional title, but that's okay. We're just happy that you got some of those references in there.
It's like, oh, yeah. Well, I love the idea of a music venue, but like, I want it to be versatile. Like, I would love to have like weddings there. You know what I mean?
Okay. So like a venue?
Yeah. Yeah. But like also you can have like a dance there.
It's like a venue.
Yeah. But like, what if you also have like, aside from like weddings and like dances and performances, you could like put chairs in there and have like a poetry slam.
So a venue.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a cool idea.
You could do like DJ stand-up comedy. Like you could roller skate or you could like putt-putt golf. Or like, what if you like want to loan a book out? Like there could be books there, like a library. Or like, I don't know, like what if someone needs to do their grocery shopping? There should be like a paper towel aisle. She's like, honey, I don't think you can do everything at one time in one place.
What if we like,
yeah, but like 7-Eleven does it. Like where are you going to get your Snickers? My place.
Like, what if you like take a hose and like pour water on the floor, but then like freeze it? And it could be like a rink, but on the inside, but like a venue, but like also a wedding.
How are you going to keep it cold?
I'm gonna have to get back to you. That'll be in the next intricate paragraph.
You know how like when you want to paint a wall, but you're like, what color should I paint it? I want to paint it the color like that I see in this magazine. You could like take that to the counter and then like they'll put it in a computer and then they'll make you paint that color.
Honey, they do that at Home Depot.
Exactly. You get it.
I have this vision that like if you don't like the floor, we could like, I don't know, like maybe find someone who could like weave things together and they could take fabric and then you could like roll it out on the floor and it'd be this really cool thing that like makes the floor a little softer and nicer.
You mean a rug?
They have those?
Yeah, it's like everything that, you know, like everything that's going on in my head and it's like pulling it out is the hard part, right? Because like it's all up there. It's right here.
Joe, are you pointing at your bump it again?
Yes, I am. I am pointing at the bumpet. But maybe Maddie can make me a PowerPoint. You know, other people are asking me to partner with them, but like, and they're like people that are like really successful in the industry, but like my loyalty lies with the Bonapartes.
Okay, well, you know, famously there's one Bonaparte that eventually it all fell apart for him, right?
I don't get the reference, Mom.
Okay.
You have a lot of choices, honey, like so many people to collaborate with you. You know, they want to collaborate with you because you're a great guy, you know, and you just pulled this party out of your ass and it was like profitable, you know, so I don't know. That's great. You're doing great over there. As far as all of these other people, I do not believe you for one second, but that's cute. I really appreciate your confidence.
He's like, well, I don't know. It wasn't like profitable really because like I had to give half the tickets away for free, but still.
Oh. Okay. So I hear Denny's is hiring.
You know what? I put like pretty much all my eggs in my career into the Republic basket and I'm feeling this pressure to like get my shit together. And like, I don't want to be put in that position where I start a family and I have nothing to provide them except like a really big omelet in a basket.
Okay. Well, I need to get back to work, but you know, thanks for the pep talk. Really needed that. She's like,
yeah, well, didn't really. Okay. Didn't do anything. Bye. Love you.
Honey, our son, we're going to have to pay his rent for a few more years. Did I not hang up? I'm so sorry, Joey. Okay. Good luck.
So now it's time for the Michaels cover release party at Republic. And we see posters everywhere. And, he's, you know, he's as I have to say, like, Michaels really is as charismatic in still pictures as he is in moving pictures.
We can take that in whatever direction you.
So good for him. Anyone but looks very handsome. And he's holding like a, you know, like signs up in front of his privates and stuff that says reserved. And so people start coming and he's like, LOL, so gay. Wow, so gay, right, guys? Hey, straight person. Hey, other straight person. Good to see you. Thanks for coming out.
This party couldn't be gayer. I mean, there's drag queens, gay. Naked pictures of Michaels everywhere, gay. Candy on the bar, gay. I mean, sorry. There's really nothing more gay. There's glasses, soda in glasses, gay. Light bulbs and fixtures, gay.
Squirrel machine, gay. Lake, gay.
Ceiling,
me,
gay.
Gay.
So Brad's asking if he, what?
I did not know that was like, I like that candy on the bar is like gayer than Lake and DJ. It's like,
yeah, I don't know the gay, the candy on the bar is gay, is it? I feel like that's more
basic.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's like white girls getting married more than gay.
Exactly.
So no offense because, and I don't want to tell any white girl to stop doing that because it's the best part of your weddings. So thank you. Keep it up. So TJ,
wait, you mean the crochet thing that has, seat tables stuck in it is not basic anymore. It's not the most fun part anymore.
The crochet thing that has tables in it.
You know, like the, you know, those like bit when at a wedding, someone has like some sort of like crochet netting, like a crochet thing. And they put the little things in there that say where you're sitting and you have to pluck it out.
Oh.
Anyway, moving on. Moving on. So dot gay.
Oh, so dot gay. So Brad's asking him if he feels nervous seeing naked pictures of himself. He's like, I'm like naked on my Instagram all the time anyway. What do I care? And so is your mom coming? And he's like, no, my mom and I have had progress, but I don't know that she's ready for this big gay explosion. Baby steps. Baby steps.
Meanwhile,
by baby steps, I mean, she said, fuck no, you embarrassed me. I'm never going to do anything on TV again. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
I've already gotten hate Twitters. I've already gotten hate tweets, and this hasn't even aired yet. So thanks.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Maddie, meanwhile, is working with a young protege, DJ Annabella, which I just love these DJ names because, like, normally people have names like, the famous ones, like Tiesto, you know, but then Annabella, DJ Annabella. I don't know why that's so funny to me. DJ Kathy Tricoli. So Maddie is like, DJ Jan
Fiesta
Arden.
Patina.
DJ Susan. So, I don't know. I just feel like you should have like a crazier name, like DJ Glizantrix or something.
Glizantrix.
DJ Lasagna. DJ Mustard.
So Maddie's like, you're crushing it. Like that one needs to be louder, but you're like crushing it right now. I just told DJ Annabella how to use a fader. So it's like women helping women. So we see
you hear the way that hip to be square just faded in. Yeah. That was my
hip to be
square.
That
was my mentorship.
Sure. So now Charlie's there with Justin. Emmy comes in. And she says hi to Michaels and hugs. And she's like, I mean, I can get past my issues with Michaels. I mean, like, Michaels is like a good enough person. To, like, I'm still like going to be a good enough person to like show up and support Michaels. I mean, like, I want what's best for him. Like, because that's what friends do. I mean, you're loyal. Like, I'm a very fucking loyal person. Like how I went to Molly and just said that Michaels totally fired her. So yeah. Loyal. I'm a loyal bitch. So
I love Emmy saying that, like, she can get past issues. Like, I love... It's not your issue to get past. You are the aggressor here. You did the microaggression. I can always get past it. Like, you don't even understand what you're getting past. So Michaels is like, oh, well, I appreciate the support. I just don't really think that is genuine right now. And Emmy's like, oh my God, this picture, this one's giving like you just fuck someone on the, and the food's arriving and you need to go grab it. Am I right? I could do gay banter, right? It's giving, you just got a tie for your husband at Brooks Brothers. Oh, it's giving, your man just put on green pants. You're like, try the pink pants on before we go to polo. Am I right, guys? God, I love this. I love gay banter.
Has no reaction. He just stares at her with the deadpan face. And she's like, yeah, I mean, it's awesome. Yeah, it's great. It's great. The pictures are really great. So he's like, girl, we're playing this game. Okay. Well, I appreciate you coming. Thank you. She's like, okay, well, I'll just be over here. Quit drink. If I need to call the police, I will. But I'll be over here. Okay.
So Brad's asking me if she and Troy are back together, but she's like, no, we're sexy exes. We're just exploring. And Justin goes, each other's bodies. Am I right? High five. Mushroom head or hoodie. What's he got? And Mia's like, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be mad if you did, like, you know, I was like, look, I told him, hey, I fucked somebody. And I was like, you can tell me. And Justin's like, what? You told him? I was like, yeah, I fucked somebody. And he goes, well, I didn't. I just made out with a French girl in Canada and sucked her tits and got a hand job.
Mike's like, okay, Quebec. Brett says, yeah, there's no way that was just a hand job. Okay, there's something else going on in that story. It's a little too specific to be true. So Molly comes up and she's like, oh my God, hearing that hearing from Emmy that Michael's in fact was involved in my firing, like, I'm hurt, but I can support a former friend, even my worst enemies. I'm like, if I see you doing good, like, I'm not going to tell you congratulations, but I will, like, applaud you from afar.
So Mia sits down with Molly and she's like, by the way, I was going to ask you, have you ever had a burger with a lettuce wrap? Disgusting. Are you going to say anything about Michael's firing you? And she goes, I am sick of it. I am honestly sick of it. I think we squashed it way too early. Yeah. And I think you need to have a conversation with him. I think you are owed an in-depth explanation. And I think, in my opinion, you need to have Emmy there. And furthermore, I think America really cares about this. So go do it.
She's like, oh, it's this event. It's not the time. She's like, no, not tonight. But, like, you should definitely, like, ask him, you know, with Emmy there, so he can't give you the runaround.
Liz Traveler.
Listen, if Molly was not showing up to work because she had too many other things and she's dropping a lot of shifts, that's a reason to get fired. It's so weird. It sucks that Michael's lied about it, but it's also sucky to be put in that position where you know, you're being blamed for somebody else's shitty job doing.
I think it's funny because, like, Leva laid it out many weeks ago. Like, yeah, it was just too much. She couldn't do both. So we had to let her go. And it's turning into this whole big thing, but it's like, yeah, you were an event planner. You give up too many shifts. Like, I don't see what the big controversy is here.
Yeah, it's just that he lied to her about it. Dun, dun, dun. Which he shouldn't have. He should have just said, you were missing a lot of shifts. They were pissed about it. And they said, well, she's missing a lot of shifts. Is it time to let her go? And I said, you weren't going to miss less shifts. So yeah, it was time for you to go. Sorry, but it's business.
Last season, he would have said that. I think this season, he's obviously not quite really as about his job. Last season, he was all about the fact that he was the manager and he was on top of things. And this season, it doesn't feel that way quite as much. So Michaels is like, by the way, everyone, I want to thank everyone, my friends who've come to my family within the past year, and obviously the love. Thank you so much. And, you know, I've become, like, more comfortable in my skin. And I'm like, I've always wanted to model. And I'm just, like, grateful that it happened sooner. And I'm just like, got these great pics that I can put up on Grindr. And I just wouldn't want to be anywhere else with anybody else, especially Emmy. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Joe's like, come on, get emotional. Yo, get emotional. Talk about it. Emo, get emo. I did that. I did emo night.
Get emotional. Get emotional. So now they do the cover reveal.
Yeah. So yeah, they do a cover reveal and everyone's like, wow, you're so hot. Wow. And Lake's like, yeah, this is when I wish Michaels was a Viking like me, because he's hot. And Molly's like, this is really going to inflate his ego balloon so much it's going to fly away. So no one's holding that string, bringing it back down to earth. And that's why I'm here. Oh, Molly. Molly continually trying the hardest.
Molly. Molly. Go after that story, Molly. So then Grace Lilly shows up and she's like, you know, you can't hide yourself from the world when you're going through something. But I'm feeling on the outside with this whole entire group right now and just so isolated and left out. So that sucks. So Bella emerges and she's like, you guys see Grace Lilly? Okay, that was my line. Bye, everyone. And then Maddie, they're like, yeah, I saw her. I mean, I had a conversation with her the other day. It wasn't good. Like, it was like, basically just like, I need proof that you're actually getting help, because, like, we want to start rebuilding a friendship. And, like, it took me like 2.5 years to get clean. So it's hard for me to believe that she's clean now. Ugh.
Isn't it interesting how different this storyline is different, or how different this storyline is from, like, Summer House? How on that show, it's like, oh my God, someone even questioned sobriety. Oh, that's like villainized. Da, da, da. And this one, they're like, no, I do not believe you. I absolutely do not believe you and will not believe you. And everyone's like, you go, girl.
Yeah. She's like, I'm not going to waste time trying to pour into this vessel that I don't have proof yet. But that being said, I do kind of feel like Maddie should be, maybe as an outsider looking in, it feels weird that Maddie's not being supportive of her friend who's trying to be sober right now. And I get it. Maddie said that like Grace has done this a million times where she spends like, oh, she took a month off and then she falls back into it. And like, it's like hard for Maddie to always be there. But I like feel bad for Grace. Maybe I'm being manipulated, but she comes in, she looks really sad. She does look really alone. She's way more low key than we've ever seen her before. She's not being all like, love and light, wavy gravy. She's like, hi everyone. Nice to see you.
She knows she's truly fucked now because no one will shoot with her. She's not being invited anywhere. She knows that she's officially fucked up to the point where she's done now, you know, which is often when people will come in and be like, but I'm trying, you know. And I really like Grace too. And I have a lot of empathy. And actually, just before we move on, because I brought up the summer house thing, just thinking, God, because I did think that while watching this. Now that was different because Carl had more time under his belt and that was a relate. I mean, I can see that there were clear differences in that one. It's just I don't know why it struck me with this that people are just not like giving her an inch, Grace Lilly. But I think there is something when you know have been an addict or you are an addict or you have been through things with addicts that there comes a point where it's just like enough, like you need to, like I need a solid,
I need to protect my record piece
before I've jumped back into this. Yeah, like I need to protect myself. But it doesn't make me feel less bad for Grace because that's a shitty position to be in. And so she's like, you know, it's been a month since I touched ketamine, so I'm just finally like proud of myself, you know, that I can admit it. And Maddie's saying, well, I don't think she's ready to be brutally honest and get the help she needs. And Grace is saying, well, the first step is admitting you have a problem, you know, it's a journey, it's a fucking journey, life's a journey, it's what you do, you know, that you go in life and you just go places, you know what I mean? Journey.
Last time I saw Maddie, I felt like she wasn't that supportive of me, and that hurt me, and I don't know, I can feel that tension between her and I, we have a special friendship, and I just don't want to lose it. So she starts to get emotional. And Brad actually comforts her because he sees that she's sad. And he's like, look, you know, we've always got your back. Don't you worry. We've got you. Anyway, run along. We'll see you in 3 months. You know,
kind of.
But he does hug her. And
he hugs her, but he's like, yeah, we're here for you. We hope you're okay. And she's like, yeah, it's a lot. You know, it's like losing the friend group. That's like a lot. We have so many memories, you know, like, think of all the memories of me. And he's probably like, yeah, they're all disasters. Have a lot of, whenever I think of you and you pop up in my memory, they're chaotic disasters. And so he's just like, for sure, though. And she's like, but I don't want to lose this. And I'm emotional. I feel like I lost this family a little bit. Love you guys. And he's like, love you too. And she's like, I want to leave this together because life's a journey, you know? It's a journey.
Yeah, he's like, yep. Okay, well, good luck. So then Grace leaves. She basically goes up to Michaels and is like, congratulations, but I feel awkward here, so I'm going to go. He's like, okay, I don't even really know who you are.
Yeah, so then come Maddie, on, Grace Lilly, get it together. Take care of yourself over there. I love you. I need you on my TV, girl.
I know. And in the headlines since this show filmed have not been great for her. So, God, I really do hope she gets it together. It's really scary. So then in happier news, who's ready for Meredith Marks?
Yes, Queen Icon. Oh, hello. Who's ready to engage with me?
Oh, gosh.
Where's my nasty girl?
Here's a new song. It's called Walk Like an Egyptian by a group I like to call the Bengals, everyone.
They're like, huh?
Maddie's like, this is a massive accomplishment. Like, getting a Bravo DJ to show up on a Bravo show to DJ is crazy. Nuts. I brought in the iconic Meredith Marks, basically.
Now, who wants some caviar while I play La Bamba? La 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 Bamba. Enjoy.
So, meanwhile, it's a new day. Well, now the party's over and it was fun. It was a huge success. It was a roaring success. And now it's a new day and it's time to catch up with Lake, who calls her dad, Aaron. Hey, if anybody is feeling left out, if the dads are feeling left out in the terrible parenting category, don't worry. Okay, it's not just moms who are getting it today. Welcome Lake's dad to the stage, ladies and gentlemen.
Aaron! Lake has had a bit of a up and down relationship with her dad because he has not really accepted her sexuality. So while she has this conversation with him, she spends the entire time drawing something that could be an eyeball, but for a while just sort of looks like a vagina. Did you notice that, her drawing? I was like, is she drawing a vagina while she's talking to her dad?
I wonder if this is one of those like psychological art things, because I saw an eyeball and you saw a vagina. So,
well, to be fair, I have no idea what a vagina looks like.
Really?
No, I'm just joking. Of course I know what they look like.
Well, you never know. There are some sheltered gays.
So not gay. So she calls up and Aaron is like, hey, I'm over at Uncle Carl's house and your brother just let all the chickens out of the coop. Oh my gosh. And we got to put the chickens back in the coop. You sound crazy. Yes, I'll tell any anecdote to avoid talking about your lesbianism. I'm in your face. Oh.
So she says that they're finally getting back to the place where they can make jokes together again and their relationship's improving as long as they don't talk about past hurt or who she's having sex with. And so he's like, how you doing? And she's like, you know, I'm doing this art show and I would love it if you could come support me. And he's like, what? And she's like, yeah, Leva asked me to showcase work that highlights women in Charleston. And he's like, well, how about African-Americans? Can they highlight African-Americans? And she's like, well, I am African-American and it's a highlight of me.
Got it. So it's highlighting you. Yeah, it'd be great if you could come. I would love to, but Uncle Carl, can he go instead? Because I don't know if you know about this, but I have to buy a hinge for the chicken coop so that way the door opens smoothly. So
what the fuck is wrong with this guy? He doesn't even wait to know when the day is so he can say he can't come. He's just like, oh yeah, art show celebrating you. Yeah, I'm going to send Uncle Carl instead. Okay. She says, no, I want you to come. And he's like, well, Lake, you know, I have several businesses I have to cover. Dude, you're chasing chickens around the uncle's backyard right now. I think you can spare the time.
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of businesses. It's like, well, it's next Monday. Next Monday. I mean, I have a 4-year-old son, and she's, and you have a 23-year-old daughter. Yes, but I also have many chickens that are running around, and so I don't know if you've ever seen a chicken running around, but it's a whole movie about it. Whole movie about chickens running. And
that's a real asshole.
I don't know if I can make it.
This guy's a real asshole. I didn't like this at all. So she's like, you know, I have to keep my intimate life from my father. And so this is another intimate part of my life because it's like what I dream. And that would be nice if he could support that at least. And so she's like, I really want you to come. And he's like, well, I mean, I'll try, but I can't promise you. Okay. But, you know, if I'm not there physically, I'm there in spirit. Oh, fuck your spirit. I want your fucking spirit. Your spirit out of here. Okay.
I'm there.
The chickens get the physical you and your daughter gets the chicken you. The spirit you. Sorry.
The chicken you. I'm sending a chicken. Well, if I catch one of these chickens, is it okay if I send it down to Charleston to go to the show and it could just represent me? So now we have Maddie going to her mom, Mary Ellen's house. We love Mary Ellen. And Mary Ellen is like, so tell me, how was Punta Cana? Tell me everything. She was like, it was fun. You must have been exhausted. Aren't you exhausted? You look exhausted. Is that a microaggression towards you? Do you look tired? Oh my God. I guess that's just a regular aggression. Microaggression is something totally different. Whoops. So Maddie's like, I am exhausted and I'm working at Republic all weekend. And I had the white party and then Meredith Marks event the next day. And it was so much fun. Mother, why are you clutching my arm so tightly? I'm just excited to see you. Okay. Okay. Sit down here. Quinny's here.
Say you know, Quinny, Meredith Marks, that is the best news I've heard in years. It's like the most important thing you've ever done. Okay. Tell me more.
Is she related to Groucho? Different Marks, mother. Okay. Well, I got some snacks going. Snacks. Who wants excited for snacks? You like Ritz? I got you Ritz. I know you like Ritz. You like Ritz, right? You always like Ritz. You not like Ritz anymore. Mother, stop it. You're spiraling. You're on TV and you're spiraling. Sorry. How's Joe?
So they talk about Joe's bad back, and then it moves on to, have you gotten your test results back? Yes or no? She's like, I don't know, Mom. And so Maddie's saying that the mom really wants her to freeze her eggs, and she went to take blood tests to see if she's even eligible to freeze her eggs, but she won't look at them. And she's like, you seriously have not even checked into this, honey? She's like, I don't want to know, Mom. And she says she's at an infertility risk because she has autoimmune disease, but her family has also struggled with fertility, and so she's scared because she can't take another negative health results. And she's like, okay, but you're 28. And when I was 35, my eggs weren't even viable. So that was hard to hear. Okay. It was hard to hear at 35. And it's going to be, it's easier to hear when you're 28. Okay. Just go get it done. And she's like, but I'm going to just freeze my eggs, period. That's what I'm going to do. I don't even care what the test says. And she's like, that's not how that works.
She goes, did you look at the results? Maddie, you got to look at the results. You got to look at, I don't want to know. I just freeze my eggs. If they can do it, then they'll obviously know. But like, I feel like I have so much trauma and like being sick in my whole early years of my life. I just don't want to deal with doctors and like hearing I'm going to struggle with that. She goes, okay, but if you don't know, you can't do anything about it. Okay. It's really important to get the results. Okay. How am I supposed to know when to get new Coca-Colas for this household if I don't know that they're out? Okay. You got to tell people things. Knowledge is power.
I was like, but I don't want to hear it, Mom. And she's like, okay, well, but the doctors don't just freeze your eggs. That's not how it works. Like, they test you first. They do all this stuff. They don't just say, okay, hand up. You know, it's not like putting your cup up against the ice maker and stuff pops out of there and you freeze it. It's not how it works, honey. And she's like,
Mom, why are you so obsessed with soda today?
Because there was a soda gay party. I went to it. Did you not go to that one?
No, it's a different party, Mom.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's nothing better than gay soda. I mean, am I right?
Cola. So Maddie's like, I hate doctors. And Mary, being the sensitive mom, goes, look, you have a whole thing with doctors. You have to get over that. She's just like, I don't care. If it puts you off, there's no moving back. So get over it. So Maddie's crying. She's like, I don't know if I could take it. So, I mean, obviously Maddie has terrible associations with doctors. And her mom is like, I don't give a fuck. Get in there and look at those results. So Maddie is saying that when she was younger, she was misdiagnosed a lot. And so she just really does not like doctors at all. And between the pressure from her mom and Joe and doctors, it's like a lot all at once.
Yeah. And the mom's like, honey, knowledge is power, which is why Joe is basically like a dead boombox. Okay. You are in the driver's seat here. Now, whatever you find out, we'll get through it. Okay. Just get over there. I'm going to be a grandparent. Okay. Come hell or high water. So you need to figure this shit out.
About to say, that's why so many people on this cast seem so powerless at all times. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is
do,
power.
Do, do.
And speaking of which, honk, honk. Oh, Joe's here already. Wait, you're leaving? You're good? Are you leaving? She's like, bye. So then Joe's like, hey, that's good. Let's book you. I'm in a lot of pain. By the way, Joe's back issues are like they've been sort of like lingering over the past few episodes. Should we be concerned about this?
Yeah, back issues like that don't just go away. It sounds like those can get really bad and serious too. And so she's like, well, maybe you should go to the doctor. And he goes, yeah, well, I don't have time for that. It's like, well, this couple, you guys should not be talking about kids when you can't even take care of yourselves. Like, if you guys refuse to even take the steps to take care of yourselves, you're not ready, you know?
Well, it's also the funny part about this is Maddie being like, Maddie's mom saying, you need to go look at the results. No, I hate doctors. Doctors are the worst. I hate doctors. God, they're doctors. I'll never talk to a doctor again. Joe, go to the doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's crying to Joe about the conversation with her mom. And she's like, you know what, Joe? Like, I'm a kid, you know, Joe? Like, I feel like, why do I have to figure out like marriage and kids all in like one summer? Like, I'm 28. I'm a baby.
Yeah, but I think you're putting like some of that pressure on yourself though. Cause like, I think because these are like things that you want and like, no, I don't know why you have all that pressure. By the way, can I remind you that I can't wait to start a family with you? I can't wait to start a family. Let's start a family. I want to have babies with you. Anyway, why do you feel all this pressure?
She goes, yeah, but my mom's like, knowledge is power. And I'm like, no, it's fucking not. Like, it's a curse. Cause like half the smartest people in the world. I mean, like, look at even Fantastic Four, like Dr. Reed is like, this is a curse.
Yeah. Knowledge really is. It really is a curse. If anyone could be more cursed with knowledge, it's Maddie Reese in this moment.
I died. Knowledge is a curse. Look at some of the smartest people in the world, like the Fantastic Four.
Oh, Maddie, weighed down like with a ball and chain with all that
deep, deep knowledge coursing through your veins.
Haven't you ever noticed that, like, the saddest people are wearing glasses?
They know so much. God, you ever see Pinky in the Brain? How upset is the brain at all times? So the producer's like, have you considered freezing an embryo? She goes, what? Like, you can freeze like an embryo? Like, and Joe's like, I mean, there's been like food that I've frozen that like didn't come out, and I feel like it expired in the freezer. So I don't know how this works. It's not the same as a grilled cheese, Joe.
Not the same, Joe. She goes, wait, people do that? Like, they freeze like a baby? Like, so wait, you can just freeze a baby? Like, it's like those movies where there's like a baby like floating in like scientific liquid. I'm like, no, the embryo is just like a few little cells. I'm just, so wait, it's not a baby? What is it then? It's like, oh my God. Embryo.
I'm cursed. I just got knowledge.
Like, it's an embryo, you know, like when sperm, she goes, oh wait, so you need sperm? And they're like, yes. But wait, but what if Joe and I don't get married? What if we don't get married and we don't work out? Then I'm wasting my eggs on like some other guy's sperm, right?
Heck. Wait a second. What if I want my embryo to have straight hair? No, it's not that it needs a perm. It needs sperm. Oh. Okay, that makes more sense.
What's an embryo?
But if I have, if my blood type is B positive, is it an embryo B or is embryo? Like, ma'am, we're going to need you to step away from baby talk.
Ma'am, we're going to need to get your embryos now because you're a type A. Oh my God, my blood's smart. No, no wonder I'm so sad.
Wait a second. Why do we care so much about Emmy eating brioche? No, embryo, not Emmy's brioche. Oh.
Yikes. So now it's brunch shift at Republic, and Emmy is watching Lake struggle to cut limes. Like, it's like, what the hell? She goes, baby girl, grip it. And I'm like, really? Like, lift it up, like, up in the air, like, off the thing right here. Now smash it in there. Oh my God, this lime is probably terrified.
And Lake can't do it, and Emmy's like losing her mind. She's like, Lake, fantastic hostess, but she can't cut limes to save her fucking life. I'm like, I'm gonna cut the lines. So now we're at Lamar's Sports Club, and TJ brings over a tower of wieners to the table, and Molly and Taylor join them. Taylor of Taylor and Shep, by the way, and Justin, Brad, and Joe. And Justin's like, hey, is everyone ready to watch some football? Can't wait to see the mushroom heads on some of those Patriots players. Am I right, TJ? What? Huh? What's happening? I don't know what this means. He's like, sports. Oh my God. Look, I don't know anything about football. As long as people are buying wieners and wiener towers, I'm happy. And also if I can have a vacuum.
Joe, you should tell everyone my exciting news. And Taylor's like, oh guys, TJ's straight. And they all laugh. And Molly's like, okay, what's the announcement? So Joe says, everyone knows that TJ's type is a closeted straight man, but like, what's the next best thing? Someone that just came out of the closet. Okay. But like, there's this really good looking, charismatic, awesome dude. And we're like buddies in college. And he came out of the closet, and TJ's like low key had a crush on him. So I sent him a paragraph, and I'm like, hey, this is like a Hail Mary. You know, Ryan Gosling was straight too one time. So then he just responded with, I'm down. When?
What's a Hail Mary? Sorry. It's a sports thing. So they're all so excited, and his name is Matt Rossi. And then TJ's like, oh my God, he has a wiener dog named Kirkland after him. So we see a picture of Matt, and he is really hot. And this is where TJ is like, yeah, I don't think the Charleston gay scene is completely dry. It's just, however, my DMs are just like straight up twos. And we see all these guys. It's like, Ryan, 54, I love corned beef and running in the rain.
Keith, 28, I like to tinker on my PS Express and sing opera.
Wow, that is bad. It's like you're not even springing for the full Photoshop. Not even the full Adobe suite.
PS Express.
Dave, show tunes are my fave. I love puppies and flowers. Well, that's not so bad.
Oh God. And TJ goes, and these twos just talk to themselves every day. So thank you, Joe Bradley. I mean, at least they're not just being ignored by straight guys that they're DMing all day. I don't know. Yeah. Leave the twos alone. Jeez, they sound like they have quite lovely lives. Okay. I don't know about beggars, the corned beef and running in the rain. That's a little weird.
You're like, how about yours, which is like, I sell hot dogs at sports bars. So then Lake goes up to Michael's, like, what's new? And he's like, And Emmy is like, the way that Michael spoke to me in Punta Cana was not okay. And it really hurt my feelings. And I've watched a lot of friendships dissipate because there was like a lack of respect. I'm just like, I'm like really hurt. Really? Friendships dissipating because of a lack of respect, Emmy. Wow. When is that
crazy?
Maybe we have some examples of that happening earlier this season too. So funny that you say that.
In every single episode this year, which is crazy. So back at the sports club, Molly's like, oh my God, obviously Emmy's and Michael's aren't good right now. So in Punta Cana, I called her aside to just be like, are you okay? And then she told me that my feelings towards Michael's are valid because I was here when he pulled the strings to fire me.
And Brad's like, no, this is really hard for me to wrap my mind around. But if anyone here would know if Michael's knew about the firing of Molly, it would be Emmy.
And now we're going to believe anything that Emmy says, Brad, from you of all people.
I know.
And Brad's like, all summer, you know, I've heard this from him. He's like, I didn't have a problem with Molly. Molly had a problem with me. Well, it sounds like you did have a problem with Molly. Just, oh yeah, he had a problem with me. All right. He had a problem with me.
What do you mean? What? And Joe's like, well, he will fucking go off. That's what happened. And Molly's like, yeah, he will step on your neck if it means he gets a little higher. And at this point, I know he did it. I can't move forward in our friendship. You don't take accountability.
Michael's got
Molly fired so that way he could climb up higher in the corporate ranks of Republic from assistant general manager to still assistant general manager. Okay, got it.
Yeah, and she didn't have a higher position than him. So how was it stepping over her to get higher? He was already above you. This is stupid.
Yeah. This is genuinely very stupid.
Yeah. I think they're just so like, guys, it's the end of the season and we've got nothing. All right, come on. Yeah. Let's go.
Michaels has become a completely different human being to the one I became friends with. And with people that change in a negative way like that, karma will always come back to bite you in the ass. And karma's only a bitch if you are. You are. You are. And then all of a sudden, a feather flies through the air and a magical lightning claps. And the karma, the goddess of karma, comes down and inhabits Michael's laptop.
Karma is when you consistently don't show up for work or drop your shifts and then you're fired. So you've already learned that lesson. So I don't know. I don't get this. So Michael's is like, wait. So Michael gets an email and he's like, wait, are you fucking kidding me? That's so frustrating. And he calls Maddie and he's like, I literally just got an email that says I formally notify you of a change in your current position. We'll be transitioning you out of assistant general manager role. Like, what the fuck did I, what the fuck?
And then he's like, and I'm like, they emailed you this today. He's like, that's rude as fuck. You know what? Like, you know what? That's, you never should read your emails because knowledge is power. You know, Dr. Reed from the Fantastic Four, he reads every single email he gets and he's burdened with it. I'm sorry that you had to learn this way, but knowledge is not power. It's a curse, Michaels.
Yeah, this is crazy. And he's like, I don't understand. I've given everything to this company. Like, it kind of puts a pit in my stomach. Like, oh, I mean, you can't be an AGM forever. And then he goes to the bathroom and cries and stuff. This is nuts. I wonder why they did that. And especially right after he had a big party, bringing in Republic a shit ton of money for that So.gay thing and brought in all that publicity. I wonder what's up.
Maybe it's just nothing to do with him. It's just like a restructuring. They're like, we don't need an assistant general manager and we've moved your role over to this instead or whatever. Like, it's probably something actually totally benign because, you know, I don't think we've seen anything where Michaels has exhibited a dereliction of duty as assistant general manager. So
this says we'll be transitioning out of that role, but is it a raise? Probably not, right? They wouldn't tell you got a raise like that on email. That's nuts.
I would like to know. We'll find out next week, I hope.
I guess we'll find out, won't we?
Knowledge is power. So we will. We're looking forward to finding out.
I'll tell you what time's going to do. It's going to tell you. It's going to tell you. Okay? Yeah. Just listen for it. Listen for time. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. Have a great holiday weekend. We'll be back on Tuesday. In the meantime, if you want live streaming tickets for our cabaret June 3rd and 5th, those are available at watchwhatcrappens.com. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with K. Rob.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.